Thank you for taking the time to share in Truth Infusion Ministries. Support for this radio program comes from your generous gifts and donations. You can find out more about David Markham and the Truth Infusion team at www.truthinfusion.com.
Okay, I understand that there's some problems with the church. I've been in the church my whole life, Brother Todd. I know something about it. And there's some people in the church, and that means there's problems in the church. But you know what? I love the people of God. I love to be with them. And if Jesus is in me and he loves the church and I don't love the church, we've got some other things to talk about now.
The anointed preaching of the Word of God is like infusing strong medicine into a sick body. The modern day church is sick, and what it really needs is an infusion of the truth. Hello, truth seekers. My name is Corey Callicutt, and welcome to Truth Infusion, the radio aspect of Truth Infusion Ministries. It is our prayer that in the next 30 minutes, God Himself will infuse life-giving truth into your heart. With that in mind, here's Pastor David Markham with this week's Infusion of the Truth.
And thank you, Corey Callicutt, for the introduction. And with that, we're off to the races, and it is good to be in the service of the King.
Amen to that.
And that voice that you just heard is one of my favorite people in the wide world. Excited to have my pastor in the broadcast studio with me today. And it always is a blessing. You know, we've only done this one other time.
Right.
And I don't know if I ever told you this, but one of the two shows that you were able to do with me in the past is, at one time at least, I haven't looked in a while, was the most listened to show that we'd ever done with Truth Infusion.
Wow.
And so, yeah, so you're a popular
wow.
guy.
Oh, yeah.
And the Lord was really reaching out through some of the stuff that we did. And that's been probably a year ago now, I would think. So
I think at least.
I'm glad that you're here. This is Todd Reed. He's the pastor of First Baptist Redwater, my home church. But, Pastor, I haven't been there in about a month, and so I wanted to say, how's it going at home church lately?
Just came out here to make sure you were still alive, man.
All right, thanks. Church going good?
Yeah, we've been blessed, man. We have really been. As a matter of fact, part of the reason why David has me here today, I was just telling him, we've been going through studying the book of Hebrews,
yep.
and God is just using His Word just to blow us up over the last few weeks,
Amen.
And we're excited to share some of that.
Yeah, I text Brother Todd out a week ago or so, and just how you doing, and checking in with you, and the comment you made to me was that you said, I think I've enjoyed preaching these last two Sundays more than I can remember in a long time. And I thought immediately, that's a radio show. I don't even know what you're preaching about. I was like, if he's enjoying it that much, I need to get him in here and let's talk about this. But you were preaching at this point, walking through Hebrews, but you're coming through chapter 6.
Right, right.
A couple of weeks ago, as you were saying. And I remember the last time I was at home church, and I've been ministering since then, but you had started chapter 6 and some pretty heavy verses
right.
At the beginning of chapter 6. I remember when you said, turn to chapter 6, we're going to start in the beginning of chapter 6, I thought, oh, this is going to be fun. Because there's some pretty heavy stuff
well,
there.
It really is. You know, in 20-something years, and I shared this with our church a couple of weeks ago, in 20-something years of pastoral ministry, I don't know that I have ever preached on that text before, and there's a reason for that is because I struggled. I don't want to get it wrong, man. You know,
hey,
we want to rightly divide the word of truth, and I don't want to avoid things intentionally. But man, if I'm not feeling direction there and enough light from the Spirit to show me truth, but you know, as we started going through just preaching straight through books of the Bible, when we get to those hard texts, God always comes through and just makes His word explode on us. And yeah, that passage was a tough passage, but it's a great one when you come to understand what God is saying to us.
Yeah, and the writer of Hebrews is really, and you may say this a better way than I, but the beginning of chapter 6, he is he's putting a spotlight on a certain type of person or people in the church.
Right, right.
And then later on, in about verse 9 or so, where we're going to really key in today, he really kind of flips the coin and says, but now let's talk about another group of people. And so the comparison really sets up this one group at the beginning from this other group at the end. So let's just give a sketch of this group that he's talking about at the beginning,
okay, you know,
so that we can highlight these others.
In the beginning of the chapter, and this is why the passage is hard, because it has that one verse. It's describing this group of people, and it says it's impossible for them to come again to repentance. But listen to the description he gives to this group of people. He says, beginning of verse 4 of chapter 6, it's impossible in the case of those who have once been enlightened, mm-hmm. tasted the heavenly gift, shared in the Holy Spirit, tasted the goodness of the Word of God and the powers of the age to come, and then have fallen away. It's impossible to restore them again to repentance, since they crucify once again the Son of God to their own harm, holding him up to contempt. And you know, you can look at that, and I've heard it taught, preached a bunch of different ways. But really, when you take the context of all of what this Word of God tells us about how salvation works and how the Spirit works in the life of the believer, you look at a passage like this and you realize, man, he's describing a group of people who've been religious. Mm-hmm. They've been around the church. They know the nomenclature. They've had their hair stand up on their arms. Yeah, they've said, "Ooh, that was anointed." You know, they've been close enough that they've felt something, they've tasted something, but they've just never been, like we said a moment ago, they've never been infected by it, they've never been infused by it, you know.
There's a cliche that says, seeing is believing. In the economy of God, though, that's not true.
That's exactly right.
Seeing is not believing, because these people, they saw a lot of things, and very Spirit-led, powerful things, but that didn't infect or affect them at the core of their person and change who they were on the outside, on the inside.
You know, there's a good possibility you've got listeners who can relate to what I'm about to say, but I've known people all of my life who they love to go to great, powerful services, mm-hmm. and they love to get the feeling of the moment, but they have to keep finding those places and going to those places to keep their faith alive. And the minute they pull away, and I'm not saying that we don't need fellowship with one another, because we do, but we, first and foremost, my fellowship has to be with the Father. Mm-hmm. My fellowship has to be with Christ himself, and sometimes we become dependent on those external, because I don't have anything happening internal. I don't have a relationship here. I just got to be close to people who do, so I can get this pre-chewed meal.
Sure,
you know.
Sure. In fact, I had an amazing time with a church just this last Sunday, and the Lord used one lady to just blow the doors off for an altar call that I didn't even see coming in a lot of ways. But one of the things she said to me, she came and confessed Christ is her Lord that Sunday.
Amen.
One of the things she said to me after the service was exactly what you said. First of all, she said she was raised in the Catholic Church. Uh-huh. Then she went into a Baptist church, and she had one of those come down to the front and have a prayer moment. And she, it wasn't real, but she followed an emotion. She said after that point, she went into a church that, in her words, was all lights, camera, action.
Oh,
it was a big production every Sunday, and she said it was very emotional, and she always felt something every service, but by the time she got home and spent a couple of hours back in real life, it was all gone again.
Yeah.
And so she was experiencing something, and she was seeing something, but again, seeing was not believing. She was not experiencing the Lord on the level of relationship like Paul is about to talk about.
Yeah, right. And I think what you just described is what he's referring to when he talks about sharing in the Holy Spirit. Because see, at first glance, when you read sharing in the Holy Spirit, they've shared in the Holy Spirit, somebody's going to say, well, that's somebody who's been, they were saved if they were shared in the Holy Spirit.
Sure.
No, you can be so close to somebody that's being moved on by the Spirit of God that you share in their experience without sharing in the relationship. And, you know, he talks about being enlightened and tasting the heavenly gift, the goodness of the Word of God and the powers of the age to come.
Let me give one quick, another bit of scripture that lights this up, and then I want us to move into this other group of people that we were talking about.
That excites me, man.
But Jesus himself, this is John, end of John chapter 2. I preached on this a week or two ago, so that's why this is on my mind. In end of John chapter 2, it says Jesus was in Jerusalem during the Passover week, and he was doing many miracles. Mm-hmm. Now it says that many people believed on his name.
Yes,
because they saw the many miracles. They saw and they felt
what
was going on. But then the next verse, I think it's verse 24, says, but he did not commit himself to them because he knew what was in the heart of men.
Exactly right. You know,
so they were, in essence, what I told that church that Sunday, they were unsaved believers.
Yeah.
Because they believed they had their faith in an identification of what they had seen and experienced, but it had not gone to the heart of the matter.
Right.
They had not believed upon him as their Lord.
Right. You know, we live by faith and not by sight.
Yeah.
If you get that backwards, you've always got to have more sight to keep your faith going.
Continually.
And you get it the right way. The faith creates the things that come into sight. You know, we always say faith. Well, miracles will never produce life-changing, everlasting faith.
Amen.
Miracles don't produce that. But now, a life-changing, everlasting faith can in turn be used by the Spirit of God to create miracles.
And is a miracle in itself.
That is the miracle. That's the greatest miracle. Which really is what excites us about the passage we're looking at today. Because, you know, if you've been one who has struggled with what the first part of Hebrews chapter 6 speaks about, man, it's encouraging to know that there are people who genuinely come to a faith in Christ where it changes their life. They become new creatures.
Amen.
And it changes everything about them. And so the writer of Hebrews, after he addressed this group of people who are very religious, they know all the answers, they've had the feelings and all that, but he also describes them at some point, they walk away.
Yeah.
They let go of the faith. They deny Christ. And the reality is they never had. You know, in 1 John, he says, there are some that went out from us, but they were not of us. Because had they been of us, they no doubt would have stayed with us.
Yeah.
In other words, if they'd had what we got, man, there's no way they could leave this.
Amen.
They can't deny the genuineness. And, you know, they just wouldn't walk away from it. Well, in saying that, here the writer of Hebrews, after he addresses that group of people, he turns around and clearly, I think, in the way he words this in verse 9, he speaks to the group of people that are receiving this letter in the first place. And he says, though I speak in this way, yet in your case, beloved, we feel sure of better things.
Amen.
Well, that had to be an encouraging word to somebody.
Yeah. Yeah. Right.
Like, I ain't talking about you. You know, you're not in that group. And as he addresses his people, you're not in that group. And you see why he says we feel sure of better things.
Yeah.
Because he goes straight into saying things that belong to salvation. And man, why does he feel sure of better things about a specific group of people? Well, because he's seen in them things that belong
to
salvation. Absolutely.
Sure.
You know, when Christ gets in you, when the Spirit of holiness comes to life in you, he's going to be himself.
Yeah.
And he's going to live through you powerfully. Now, somebody's going to say, man, I didn't have a drastic life change when I came to Jesus. I don't remember moments like that. You know, God is in the business of transforming us moment by moment, day by day.
Glory to glory.
And it does, from glory to glory. I love that passage in 2 Corinthians 3. The more you look at him, the more you become like him. So we've got to learn to pursue him constantly. But, you know, we're in this process, this sanctification part, the present work of salvation in us where God is making us more like Christ. And that comes out in people's lives because you begin to see things that belong to salvation.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So let's talk for a minute.
Okay.
About what are those things? What are those things that belong to salvation?
When I think of the manifestation or the fruits of salvation, you think of joy.
Man, yeah.
I love to be around those people.
Me too. You know, hey, when you said a minute ago, when I made that comment in the text, I've enjoyed preaching these last few weeks more than I have in a while. Somebody might have thought, man, this guy don't enjoy preaching very much. But I know what you thought. You thought, man, have you enjoyed it more than he has
been?
Yeah,
no.
Because, man, it's on, you know. We joy, golly.
Yeah, I mean, the joy of there's a difference in somebody that cracks a smile or tells a joke and they're happy from time to time. But I'm talking about that person. I'm thinking of two things. When there's shadows and when there's darkness and when there's difficulty, there's still that bubbling thing that's happening in them. And then here's the other thing about joy. When you're around that person, you get it on you.
Yeah.
You know,
it's
you're
contagious.
That way, Pastor. You have that joy, and you can't hang around with Brother Todd very long without laughing, without cutting up, without enjoying. Joy is in the word enjoying. It's, you know, there's just
Amen.
Something about
right.
that bubbles
right.
out of you.
Well, I think, you know, when man, praise the Lord. And we think about the goodness of God. We think about the fact that we're created in the image of God.
Mm-hmm.
And we know that if anything good ever comes from or through our lives, it's just because we're created in the image of a perfect God.
Yeah.
And then he chooses to, you know, it's said of Christ, man, I've given you a joy above your brethren.
Mm.
and man, I'm thankful that Christ lives in me.
Yeah.
And so there's something alive in me that's got a joy that's abnormal. And alive in you, David, and alive in anybody that knows Christ. That's what the writer's talking about when he says, hey, I'm convinced of better things of you because I see in you the things that belong to salvation. Man,
yeah.
people have joy.
Sure.
Know?
What about a desire for fellowship?
Man, absolutely. As a matter of fact, I was telling David before we started The morning I was preaching this passage, I came back to our fellowship from a camp and preaching about a couple of weeks to teenagers at a youth camp. And man, I couldn't wait to come back. I could have got somebody to fill the pulpit, but man, I didn't want to. Because I love to be with our people, and you know, in the family that God has put us in. I hope, you know, as listeners out there, that you guys, I hope God has put you at a place where you know where you're supposed to be. And you know you're supposed to be there when He's given you a great desire to be among the believers in the family. I don't mean just to be at church on Sunday morning or Sunday night or Saturday or whenever you guys meet. I mean to be in fellowship, just to be together with believers. Yeah, that's something. That's part of what goes along with salvation.
Well, you made the statement earlier about the fact that Christ is in you, and when He's in you, He's going to be Himself in you. You know what? One thing I know about Jesus, He loves the church.
Yeah, right.
I mean, to the point of I'll give it whatever it takes. He gave His life for the church, and if Jesus loves the church and Jesus is in me, I had a conversation the other day with a guy who talks a big talk about Christ. But you know what he said to me? He said, I don't like going to church. Yeah. And he told me the reasons why. He had some what he thought were good reasons, but at the back of my heart, I was saying, okay, I understand that there's some problems with the church.
Yeah.
I've been in the church my whole life, Brother Todd. I know something about it.
You're right.
And there's some people in the church, and that means there's problems in the church.
Right.
But you know what? I love the people of God.
Right.
I love to be with them. And if Jesus is in me and He loves the church and I don't love the church,
yeah,
we've got some other things to talk about now.
Yeah, something's not right there. Not right there. Because as a matter of fact, the relationship with Christ, He has designed it to where part of that relationship happens within the context of the body of Christ. Mm-hmm. In other words, it's like these moments when we're together, brother. Jesus gives Himself away to me through you.
Hey, thank you, Lord.
And He gives Himself away to you, I hope, sometimes through me. It's really what you said a moment ago. And that's the way He's chosen to operate. He's chosen to put us in a place where we need one another. We're dependent on one another. And He, and you know, iron sharpens iron, yes. And we all heard that statement, as iron sharpens iron, sparks fly.
Yeah.
But the reality is, man, God uses the context of the local church to show us His life and to show us our own imperfections and our need for one another and for Him. Absolutely.
My wife has a has a job that requires her to be out of town a bit. And she'll travel 2-3 hours away. So many times it would be so easy for Jennifer to say, I'm 3 hours away, and that the company will put me up in a hotel and I can crash here. It makes it easier night. But you know how many times, even against my desire for her, just stay. You're in Dallas. You're 3 hours away. Just stay. She's coming home.
Right.
And you know why she's coming home? Because family is at the house.
Right.
And even if it means a couple more hours on the road, she'd rather be here with the last 3 or 4 hours of her evening than be by herself in a hotel room in Dallas, because you're drawn to the family.
Right, absolutely.
And same thing. Here's Brother Todd working hard all week with these kids, and could have, nobody would have begrudged you to be there or be away or take a breather for a minute. But you know what? Family's at the house.
Yeah,
and,
right.
And I'm ready to get back to the house.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. You know, when you said that, one of the things that you would see, one of the things that accompanies salvation is people loving the people of God, loving the church, loving to be around His people. You know, and man, there's another thing. Man, it's loving to speak about Christ, to talk about Jesus. I don't mean just to talk about God in generic terms, because a lot of people just talk about God.
Yeah.
But you come to a place where you just want to talk about Jesus.
Yeah.
You know, and somebody may be thinking, well, I don't talk about Jesus very much. Well, you may be about to start. Because, well, really, God is in the process. And maybe the reason somebody's hearing this today is because the Spirit of God has brought them to a place where He said, hey, it's time to move on. And here's the reality. I had this thought the other day. I've never thought this before, never even said it before until, man, I was speaking to a group of kids the other day. And you know, I'm 5 sermons just balling up in one. In John, is it 14:12? Where he says, where Jesus says, whoever believes in me, the works that I do, he says, verily, verily, whoever believes in me, the works that I do, will he do, and greater works than these, because I go to my Father.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that was a confusing statement for me for a long time, thinking, man, who's ever going to do as much as Jesus?
Right.
And nobody's going to be better than Jesus, but that last phrase, because I go to my Father. Well, then two chapters later when he tells the disciples, you're worried about me going away, but I'm telling you, it's expedient for you that I go away. If I don't go away, I'm not going to send the comforter or the paraclete or the helper or whatever, you know, man, we're not going to send the Holy Spirit. Well, here's the thing. I've never even thought this before. But if the Spirit of God, you know, Jesus was saying in that context, hey, I'm about to change gears. I've been limited to this one body, but I'm about to go to the Father. And I'm going to the Father because I'm fixing to come back in the form of the Spirit. I'm going to keep being me. I'm just now going to do it inside your body and your body and your body. I'm about to hijack you because I'm not done working here. And there's going to be much more that I'm going to do. I'm just going to do it through you. And one of the things he's dying to talk about himself. Hey, you know what I'm saying? So if he's come to life in you, this one who's dying to talk about himself, he's going to bring you to the place where you get past your concerns about failure, your concerns about appearance, your concerns about pleasing people, and he gets you to the place where you realize nothing is more important than someone's relationship with Christ.
Yeah.
And you're going to want to talk about Christ. You're going to love the church. You're going to love his people. You're going to love his word. You're going to love talking about Christ. These are just some of the things that go along with salvation.
Yeah. Well, we've got about 5 minutes.
Okay.
And so this section of this passage, you really almost want to get through this so you can get to what he's about to say in the next.
Yes.
So we might have to just come back with another show and finish what's coming in the next passage here.
Right.
But this last verse. Verse 12, and you were reading. What are you reading out of the ESV?
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm reading the ESV.
Read verse 12 on to the end of there, and let's just tie up with a thought that he brings about inheriting these promises.
Okay. You know, when he makes a statement about I feel better about you guys. You know, I'm not talking about you. I see things belong to salvation to you. He goes on to say, for God is not unjust to overlook your work and the love you have shown for his name in serving the saints as you still do. And again, he's not saying, man, you're going to get in because you got good works.
Right.
He's saying, man, you love the name.
Oh,
and
man.
The stuff you're doing because you fell in love with the name.
Yes, sir.
And that's all the difference.
Yeah. There's so many denominations even
that
gear and build their system of faith around works, and you know, all other faith systems apart from Christianity are built that way. But even within Christianity, there's so many that get so tied to working out their salvation with the emphasis on I've got to perform a work so that I can, in other words, stretch myself toward the name.
Yeah, right.
And one of the things he's saying is you've got an inheritance. Now, what you haven't inherited is my name. I've got three kids, and they all bear the name of Markham. Now, I hope that's a good thing for them,
right.
You know, and I hope as they continue forward,
it
even grows into a better thing. But I know this, the name that we've inherited from the Heavenly Father through our brother, Jesus Christ, man, that name that I've already inherited is pushing me forward toward works. It's not, I'm not working toward the name.
Right,
working from the name that I've fallen in love with.
Not only is it the name above all names, but it's the only name under heaven that's given whereby men may be saved. But when I taste of that and I know the name, it's not just like I know the name Jesus. We talk about the name, it's his person. Man, this is a personal relationship. And this is not just I know stuff about church or I know stuff about the story of Jesus. No, he knows me, and I know him. I heard a guy say the other day, he said, you know, God has called us to go to the fountain every day. Sometimes we settle for ponds and pools and puddles, but God's called us to go to the fountain every day. And when I go to Christ himself every day and he strengthens me and he encourages me and gives me life, it just moves me forward. I can't. The things that we do, we don't do those because we're trying to get into a relationship with him.
Mm-hmm.
We can't help but do them because he's come to life in us, and it's just a natural outcropping of what it is to have the love of Christ. And he speaks about it. He says, we desire each of you to show that same earnestness and to have the same full assurance of hope to the end so that you will not be sluggish. And man, that phrase right there, the purpose of all that he just said, so that, here's why I want you to have the full assurance of hope to the end, so that you won't be sluggish. And we all have days when we get sluggish. And probably we can all relate to times spiritually when we become sluggish. We run out of gas.
Yeah.
We just, you know, we we get down or we need to refuel.
This little note I have says that the Greek word here is translated, maybe better translated, dull.
Yeah.
That what was bright and what was vivid at one point becomes dull when we pull away from the relationship.
It's the same word in another place. It talks about being dull of hearing, and yeah. that's the relationship side of it. I don't want this to be this Christianity thing is not supposed to be dead. This is life.
Amen.
Man, it is life. And he says, be imitators of those who through faith and patience inherit the promises. And man, we got something dangling in front of us. It's an amazing thing. He's about to go in the next passage and talk about that in a rich, rich kind of way.
Okay.
But
can you want to maybe pull into that in another show?
Sure, let's do
okay,
that.
Okay, well, let's end like this then. So for the person that's listening that heard us talk about the writer identifying these people that had an identifying faith, maybe of the things they had seen and felt, but they didn't have the name.
Right.
Versus this other group that is manifesting the fruits of being in that relationship, and they're seeing themselves wondering where they fall in there.
Right.
Confused. Am I in? Am I out?
Right.
What would you say to that person in these last we have about a minute and a half that's waffling between. How do I know where I land?
I tell you what, when that question arises for me, I do what I did with a man last Sunday who had that same thing for me. He didn't want me to give him a quick, easy fix, say a real quick prayer with him.
Yeah.
I told him, take the book of 1 John. Let the word of God speak to you. Read the book of 1 John, and this Bible I'm reading has 4 pages. Man, it's 5 short chapters. Read the whole thing. Get a notepad. Draw a line down the middle. Put lost on one side, saved on the other. Read through it and ask God to show you. What does the word say about a man who's not come to Christ and a man who has? And then ask God to show me where I'm at. You know?
Yeah.
Because if I could have talked that person into believing they're okay, somebody else will talk them into believing they're not.
Sure.
But if the Spirit of God, by the Word of God, shows you where you're at, that's where you need to be.
And you will be convinced by the Spirit.
Yes. And you won't have to have other people.
Sure.
You won't have to have other people to give you assurance that you're saved, because God will do it.
Amen. And then the name will be yours.
The name.
The name above all names. Truth Seekers, come back next week. We're going to keep talking through Hebrews chapter 6. Until next time, you keep seeking the truth.
Well, that wraps up this week's Truth Infusion with Pastor David Markham. If you missed out on any part of this week's message, or if you know of someone that would benefit from today's word of truth, simply visit us at truthinfusion.com. That's truthinfusion.com. On our radio ministry page, you're free to stream the program of your choice to your computer or mobile device. While you're on the website, you can find out more about Truth Infusion Ministries, get information about upcoming events that may be taking place in your area, or sign up for our free internet newsletter. Truth Infusion is a listener-supported radio program and is furnished by Truth Infusion Ministries. To send us any questions or comments, or if you'd like to make a donation by mail, write to Truth Infusion Ministries, P.O. Box 637, Redwater, Texas 75573, or email us at truthinfusion@gmail.com. I'm Corey Callicott. Thanks so much for joining us today. I encourage you to tune in next week for more solid biblical insight. And until then, keep seeking the truth.